Our scripture reading this morning is taken from the book of Philippians, the third chapter, beginning with verse 17. Brethren, join in following my example and note those who so walk as you have us for a pattern. For many walk, of whom I have told you often and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who set their mind on earthly things. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly await for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body, that it may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would now strengthen our faith through them. Amen. When my children were very little, my son was about 5, my daughter was 2, my wife and I and our 2 children were walking through a crowd of people, probably about the size of this, in kind of a large courtyard in Minneapolis. And it was at night, and there was kind of some festivities going on. And as we were moving along, all of a sudden, nearby on a stage to the side, a rock band started to play. And unaware to us, there were a whole bunch of people that wanted to come and hear them that came rushing the opposite direction of us, rushing towards us to come in and hear this band. And suddenly, an area like this was flooded with about 3 to 4 times the amount of people. And as I was walking along carrying my 2-year-old daughter, it was hard to get through the crowd because we were going the wrong direction. And some of them started to get angry with me, trying to push my way through the crowd. It got so bad. I don't know if you've ever been in a situation like this, but where you start to get a little panicky and you can feel the pressure of everybody's body squeezing up against you. I began lifting my daughter above the crowd up on my shoulder just to make sure she wouldn't get crushed. And for just a few brief seconds, my feet went off of the ground. And I've had this happen about 3 times in my life. My feet went off of the ground, and I could feel the crowd surging against me, going a completely different direction. And it was really kind of a frightening moment. Use that, if you will, today as a picture of what St. Paul is talking about in our text. There are people in this world, spiritually, who are moving in 2 completely different directions, toward 2 completely different destinations. Listen to what he says again. Many walk as enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame. And that's the largest crowd in the world. The largest crowd, as Jesus says, wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But narrow is the road that leads to life. And as Christians, through faith in Christ as our Savior, by God's grace, we are walking in a completely different direction from that of the crowd. And we have been brought to a love of Christ that God has worked in our hearts. By His grace, we belong to His church of believers. And we have a desire in us to stay with Him and follow His word as we look forward to going to heaven. But we sense it all the time, don't we, that we're walking against the grain of the crowd in this world. And there are a lot fewer of us, so sometimes that can make it difficult too. And the goal that we are striving for is an invisible thing, an invisible kingdom that we're living for. And the crowd thinks that we are ridiculous and silly for caring about all of these things. And sometimes they can even get angry with us. Martin Luther said, "Whoever tries to please God will have men as his bitter enemies." And we can be caught up in the crush of this world and in a society that more and more seems to embrace the direction of the world. And the problem is that we can sometimes get kind of caught up in that wave ourselves and moved along with them. St. Augustine wrote a writing that has become known as his Confessions. I have my freshman religion students read from it, I know. And he talks about how this happened in his life, how he got caught up in the surge of the world. He said, He's talking to God. He says, I went further from you, and you allowed me to wander. I went further from you in pursuit of more fruitless things. We're going to be singing his hymn at the end of our chapel today. And how grateful he was that God brought him out of that. And this getting moved along with the crowd can start in very small ways. It sometimes happens, I know, for me in my life with what I like to call selective sanctification. And let me explain what I mean by that. I'll use King David as an example. King David, early in his life as a believer, respected the authority of his king above him, Saul. Even though Saul was trying to pursue him and kill him, chasing him all over the countryside, trying to kill him. At one point, David even goes into a cave where Saul is and cuts off a little piece off of his robe. And he comes out and holds it up to Saul, who's across a cliff from him now, and he says, look, God delivered you into my hands, but I respected you as my king so much that I didn't want to harm you, even though Saul was trying to kill him. Now, following the fourth commandment, honoring his government, but that same David has no problem taking another man's wife, impregnating her, having her husband killed, lying about all this, trying to cover it up. Apparently the fifth and sixth commandments aren't as big a deal to him. And I can find myself falling into what I call selective sanctification as well. Maybe there's one area of my life where I can be really tight about making sure to follow God's will on something. And yet other areas where I don't seem to let it matter. I can be very precise with my language when it comes to doctrine and wanting to make sure to express things precisely, which we should, rightly so. But then maybe use our mouths to tear down someone's reputation and destroy it. We can be very careful sometimes to protect what God says, for instance, about marriage and issues of gender and the sixth commandment. But maybe let the computer come through with a whole different way of approaching us in those same areas. Maybe we can condemn how thieves break into the Louvre and steal the prime jewels of the state and shake our heads at that and rightly condemn it as we should. But maybe turn a blind eye to the ways that we in our lives don't always follow the rules and cheat and steal. Maybe it's just on our taxes, little things here and there. It's very easy for us to fall into what I call selective sanctification. I know it's something I'm very tempted with. And it's easy for us to begin justifying the places where we do this because there's so many more people in the world that are far worse than us. And so it's easy for us to kind of justify it. Now, the devil doesn't care so much whether or not you and I sin. Yeah, he likes to get us to fall into sin, but that's easy. That's an easy thing for all of us, to get us to fall into sin. But what he wants to do through that is to get us so used to it that we feel like we want to move along with the crowd going the other direction. His ultimate goal is to move you away from Christ and to get you ultimately away from walking toward heaven as your eternal goal. So St. Paul is reminding us here that Christ and the members of his church are moving through this crowd in the world in a completely different direction. Our citizenship is in heaven. That's what we're aiming for. That's where we're going. The Greek word here for citizenship is the same word for like commonwealth. It means a place where somebody legally belongs. And notice that Paul doesn't say that this is where our citizenship will be. He says it is. It's where it is presently. Back in the 1920s, there was a gentleman by the name of Westmoreland Davis. He ended up being the governor of Virginia. And he had a very unique birth. He was born on a ship in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean. And his mother delivered him in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean. And yet, he, even though he had never yet been to the United States, as a little infant on that boat, he possessed full rights and citizenship here in the United States, to such an extent that he could even be a governor of a state someday. He did nothing by himself to accomplish this. It was completely a gift that was granted to him in his life. and use that as a picture of yourself and myself. In your baptism, God has claimed you. He has granted you faith in Christ as your Savior. Along with that, He has forgiven you every sin you've ever done. He has dressed you in the holy, perfect righteousness that you will need on Judgment Day to be led into heaven. He has already, right now, through that faith He's put in your heart, granted you full citizenship and rights of belonging in heaven someday. He knows all of the problems you and I struggle with our selective sanctification. And yet he knows all of our failings, all of our weaknesses, and He still wants us in heaven. He still hasn't thrown aside our citizenship. He still grants you His grace. And even though you've never seen that home of heaven, He says, this is where you belong, and you have full rights to belong there through Christ. Paul says that God not only has claimed your soul, but also your mind, that we're going to sing about next, and your body, every part of you. He says God will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to His glorious body. When I was a parish pastor, I used to love when we were doing funerals, this one line in there where we would say, may the Lord keep these remains until His coming. That is such an honor to be the pastor that gets to say and pray that before the people about this person's body. May the Lord keep these remains until His coming. Listen to what Luther says about this. Think of the honor and the glory Christ's righteousness brings even to our bodies. How can this poor, sinful, miserable, filthy, polluted body become like the one belonging to the Son of God, the Lord of glory? Who are you to bring about this glorious thing? But human power has nothing to do with it. However, another force intervenes, the power of Christ the Lord, who is able to bring all things unto subjection to Himself. What a wonderful day when you will get to see and experience what it's like to live in a glorified body because of what your Savior has done for you. And even now, that same Christ who's going to give you that someday is leading you through the masses of unbelief in this world. And as you may struggle at times and get caught up in the crowd, grab a hold of His coat through word and sacrament. Do not let go. He will guide you safely to that wonderful homeland. And by the way, lift your children above the crowd. Amen.